All right, beautiful day for baseball. Giants and Astros coming up at 1:05 today. We bring in Henry Schulman. Of course, Henry's covered baseball for so many years, former beat writer for the Chronicle of the San Francisco Giants, and all over what's going on. I love following him on Twitter at Hank Schulman. Henry, nice to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's an interesting perspective for me as somebody who used to be a quote-unquote insider. And I'm watching all this stuff unfold as without talking to the people involved, and it's just interesting to to kind of form my own opinions and speculate, sort of like fans did for all the years I was a beat writer.
Yeah, I think it's better because you're never going to get a true answer really from anyone, and this way you can stand back and draw upon all your experience, and I think it's a better way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I as the reporter in me kind of would disagree with that because, I always felt that I was doing the reader a disservice if I was just tossing out idle speculation without having any kind of knowledge base. And, they told us the truth about 42% of the time around the trade deadline. So, I do kind of miss that part of it. I don't miss having to say, I was playing golf yesterday while the whole thing was going on. I don't miss that sitting around and having my stomach turn. Waiting for Ken Rosenthal and those guys to beat me on what the Giants were doing.
Well, pretty interesting day. So let's get your take on Chris Bryant. First of all, about him coming this way, maybe a little bit of his future, and then we'll talk about the others.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I think that, I thought that there were a few guys that the Giants really would benefit from getting three guys in particular. One was Starling Marte. One was Scherzer, obviously. And the other was Chris Bryant. And Bryant is just a perfect Zaidi type player. I mean, he can play all over the diamond. Just adding his bat. I don't know if you followed what I was doing on Twitter last night, but I put out a couple of lineups, my own thoughts on the lineups with Bryant in there. Both against a right-handed pitcher and a left-handed pitcher. And it's really amazing how just adding that one big right-handed bat in the middle of the lineup can extend that lineup to the point where you have a guy like Yastrzemski who really hasn't been hitting. And in either possibility, you could bat him seventh. I mean, that's with the belt coming back as well. It's a huge, huge deal. I was a little bit surprised that they would trade Caleb Killian, who is just a freakish strike thrower. The Giants are not flush with starting rotation prospects who are ready for the majors or will be very soon. So that surprised me a little bit. But as we saw, the prices were really high this year because I think there were more teams than normal who were buying.
Yeah, and the Giants took all the Bryant money. Now, they didn't give up top five, top six. Canario and Killian are the two. But they were sort of a little bit further down the road in Giant prospects. So I think the Giants did well just to give those two up and take the money and get Chris Bryant. I thought they did well in from their end of it.
Yeah, Canario, I understand that and he's actually the higher rated of the two prospects that they gave up. And I kind of get that. I mean, they have a bunch of outfielders in the system. Luis Matos is probably past Canario. Elliot Ramos is still, he struggled a little bit in Double-A this year. But he got better. They moved him to Triple-A. He could be up at some point soon. They have not really done a great job of graduating starters to the majors. Part of that, was left over from the last administration. Part of it was that in Zaidi's first draft, in the first 10 rounds, he took 9 position players and 1 pitcher, and that was Caleb Killian. And you have a guy here who his strikeouts to walks, I think in his, minor league career have been something like, it's been like 11-1. And, I mean, that is the classic, Zaidi-type pitcher. And they don't really have anybody who's close besides him. I mean, Tyler Beede, probably the only one in the minors. Now, Killian is not the best pitching prospect they have. I would surmise that's Kyle Harrison. But Kyle Harrison was in high school, as recently as last year. And so I don't know how close he is. But, they obviously feel that that they can, you know, move forward and do what they need to do in the next year, say, year and a half, whatever, by finding starters either on the trade or free agent markets beyond this season. And they've obviously done a good job with that.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that. And he's a college pitcher as well. So, and he is one of the ones who's closer. And they could have five free agents in the pitching department next year. Henry, did they do enough? You know, because let's face it, you know, Bryant's a great piece of the puzzle, but they hit all these home runs. They score. They've scored 500 runs already this year. Starting pitching, we saw what Gausman did last night. They talked about a starting pitcher, right-handed relief. We saw that last night. Did they do enough just getting Bryant?
Well, I think that in the perfect world, they would have gotten a starter as well. I saw Zaidi had a comment where he didn't, you know, they didn't want to upset the rotation they have now. They have five guys in the rotation right now. They didn't want to add a sixth. I had to scratch my head a little bit at that because, you know, as we all know, I mean, well, there's no guarantee that the five starters they have are going to pitch the rest of their starts the rest of the way. I mean, that you can always use another starting pitcher and then figure out the rest later on. You know, I'm a little wary about that. I mean, I think the encouraging thing, one encouraging thing I saw this weekend was the way Cueto threw in his start against the Dodgers because, you know, he's lost, just like Gausman, he sort of lost his changeup. He hasn't been able to throw it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a grip thing with the changeup. You know, Gausman is still searching for his split change. And Johnny hasn't had it, and that's been Johnny's out pitch. But yet he came out there with a four-seam, two-seam combo against the Dodgers, throwing it as the four-seamer as fast as 96, and he was getting outs that way with the occasional off-speed pitch. And it would really, really be helpful for the Giants rotation-wise if Johnny can return to some consistency, you know, in that rotation. But, you know, again, if one of these starters goes down, I mean, they have Aaron Sanchez, you know, who might be okay to replace a fifth starter type, but if they, you know, if they lose a number one starter type or a two starter type for any length of time, they really don't have anybody to replace them.
Well, Gausman established his fastball last night. That got him out of trouble, and he sort of got his confidence back. And you're right about Cueto. The fastball has saved him. Aaron Sanchez, for me, I can't believe that they would ever start him. He still looks like he's in trouble just throwing that curveball, so we'll see where that goes. Mm-hmm. Henry, looking at Tony Watson, though, and I love him. He's my philosopher. We had him on every other Friday, you know, the philosophy of baseball. But why Tony Watson, and what are they going to do with him?
Well, again, I have not talked to Gabe Kapler and Barnes Idy or Scott Harris or anyone, so I can't say definitively like maybe some other beat reporter could. But, you know, one of the issues that I saw in the bullpen was, you know, they have two left-handed relievers in there. Alvarez, who's doing a tremendous job, or three, rather, you know, with Garcia as well. You know, McGee at the back end. McGee is not going to be a guy you're going to bring into the sixth or seventh inning to face that tough left-handed batter. Garcia is a guy who's an inning guy. And I think the one thing they lack is that reliever who could come in early in the game, you know, in that sixth inning, who, you know, just when you got a Muncy coming up. And what he does is, you know, he extends the bullpen a little bit the way Bryant extends the rotation. So maybe you don't have to bring Harleen Garcia in the sixth inning or, you know, early in the seventh inning when you're facing one of the tough left-handed hitters that, believe me, the Dodgers and the Padres have plenty of. To me, if he can be effective against lefties, which has not always been the case in the last couple of years, 100% of the time, he could sort of fill that Javier Lopez role.
Okay.
I'm with you. Served them so well in the 2010, 12, and 14 postseason. And plus one other thing. I mean, this is a bullpen that lacks a lot of, you know, sort of seasoned pitchers, and that can only help as well. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in with the other lefties that they have.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, and I agree. That's a good point, that you bring them in earlier. I was thinking a little later, but you bring them in earlier. This way you don't have to burn Alvarez or Garcia when you
right,
got to
– right.
When you got to, no, good point, Henry. See, that's why you're the beat writer.
That's
why you were the beat writer.
You did
a great job. Moves. They're going to have to make some moves to get all these people back on the roster. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, I was having this conversation with some fans on Twitter last night. I mean, there's the, you know, Jason Vossler going back to Sacramento is an easy call. I mean, they have three moves they have to, four moves they have to make, say, within the next week. You know, for Watson, who's coming today, I imagine Sammy Long might go back down to Sacramento. I haven't seen the news on that yet, but you got to make room for Bryant. You got to make room for Belt. You got to make room for LaStella. I think a week from today, I think they'll all be in there, and then it becomes a little bit more difficult. One of the things that I just sort of tossed out there, and I would hate to see it, but can they afford to keep Alex Dickerson right now? Yes, they have guys they can option out. I think Slater has options. I think Duggar has options. But I see Alex Dickerson as a guy who, you know, is a tremendous person, and he's really helped the Giants the last couple of years. But he is really having trouble just hitting the fastball. And, you know, I don't know that they can afford to keep him with what they're trying to do in the next couple of months. And again, I'm not talking to anybody. It's just my speculation. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you have to open up three spots, and that's not even talking about Longoria down the road, whenever that comes up, you have to take a hard look at things like that, especially this time of year. You know, I tossed out there that Estrada could go back down, but he's the only real backup they have to, you know, for shortstop. You know, I think the other thing with left field is if you have Bryant, you know, who can play left field, especially when Longoria comes back, then Wade all of a sudden becomes, and when Belt comes back, Wade all of a sudden becomes an outfielder again. And that again reduces the need for another left-handed bat in the outfield. And right now, if you ask me right now, who's more valuable between Wade and Dickerson, I don't think that there's even a question.
No, I agree. And I think Estrada may be on a little bit on the bubble too, and Solano could always slide over and be that backup shortstop because Crawford doesn't come out of the game. So that may be, you know, you like to save inventory, and if Dickerson doesn't
right.
want to get optioned, then with his service time, that could be a problem. This is going to be interesting
right.
to see how they deal
yeah.
with it. What do you think of the Dodgers and Padres moves? You know, Scherzer, Turner, Danny Duffy. Padres really didn't get a pitcher, and now they got Tatis out, but they did get Frazier.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I was in San Diego with my girlfriend just for like 2 days of R&R, and we went to the game against the A's on Tuesday night, and that was Frazier's debut. And he had three hits. He started. They had two big rallies that game to beat the A's, a two-run rally and a five-run rally. And, you know, Frazier started both of them with a single. And I was telling my girlfriend that, you know, I mean, Tatis in that game hit a bomb that had to have been 460 feet. They called it 440, but it wasn't. It was like 460. It almost hit the scoreboard. And I told her, look, if I was writing this game, even though Tatis hit that bomb, my story would be about what Adam Frazier did in his first game. You know, I think that's a huge, huge pickup for him. But, you know, the rotation is a really, really big issue for them. And, you know, some of the big names even in that rotation have not pitched well. Snell hasn't really pitched well all year. Darvish has not pitched well of late. I saw Chris Paddock the other night. He was okay. And right now I don't see the Padres having the kind of pitching that the Dodgers and the Giants do. And they've been a strange team. You know, it was supposed to be Dodgers Padres all year. You know, the Giants were the afterthought. Even after the Giants kind of took command in first place, people kept thinking it was going to be Padres Dodgers, Dodgers Padres. But the Padres have not been able to make a move. And you know, up into the standings, they keep hovering in that five and a half game out range, and they could very well fall behind with the starting pitching issues they have. The Dodgers, I mean, they, I But, you know, my friend and former colleague John Shea, you know, said whoever got Scherzer is going to win the West. And, you know, it's hard to – I mean, as well as the Giants are playing, as well as they played for so long, he gives them such a huge lift, Scherzer, and not even mentioning Trey Turner. He made the top of a lineup with Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and Corey Seager, who just got back. They're going to be very formidable. And they gave up a ton to get Scherzer and Turner, but you can afford to give up a ton when you've just won a World Series in eight straight divisions to try and keep it going.
Well, they're still not playing good ball, and their bullpen is still a mess, and they use Jansen in the eighth inning. They're 1-11 in extra inning games, but there's 57 to go and 59 for the Giants, and you know and I know that that's forever in baseball.
I think
the Padres have to be careful of Cincinnati, and I'll just throw Cincinnati in there, and a corollary to that, how about Joey Votto? Homered in seven straight games. This is one of those hallowed records, Dale Long, Don Mattingly, Ken Griffey Jr., and here's Joey Votto, seven straight.
Yeah. I mean, Votto's been, you know, he's always been a bit of a mystery, too. He's like one of the best eyes at the plate. He's drawn criticism in Cincinnati from a lot of Reds fans because, you know, he's kind of like Belt, where, he has such a good eye. He walks so often, but people in Cincinnati had hoped, look, he said, you know, we don't need a guy in the middle of the order like Votto to get on base. We need him to drive in runs and hit the ball out of the park. And he actually told Trent Rosecrans, a reporter in Cincinnati, that I'm hitting home runs because I'm trying to hit home runs. And, he's just at that stage right now where, you wonder why they pitched to him at all. Sort of like, you know, the Giants with Max Muncy. But Votto's doing it to everybody. And, you just expect some team to just say, you know, you're not going to extend that record against us, but you can't always do that, you know, especially with other guys in the lineup behind them. They got some good hitters there, especially, you know, Castellanos in there when he's healthy. And so it's just an amazing feat to even think about it, to even hit a home run, say, three games in a row is a pretty remarkable feat given the pitching we have now in Major League Baseball, where, I mean, in the course of a game, you're going to be facing, you know, could be facing a really good starter and then three relievers who all throw 95 to 98 miles an hour. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, I love the story. What a great baseball season this is, and there's so much more to go through. Henry, thank you for being on and coming on early this Saturday morning. We love having you on, and I think your opinion is still very valued by everyone who listens to you. We've got people listening in Scotland today, British Columbia, New York City.
Yeah.
I love when people check in like that. So appreciate your being on. Have a good day, and we'll definitely do this again soon.
All right, Marty. You take care.
All right. Great. That is Henry Schulman. Always enjoy talking ball with Henry. I always said he should have his own show. All right, more coming up. Bill is going to be joined by Jeff Blum. Well, I can't wait to hear what he's got to say about the Houston Astros and especially Zach Greinke today and what kind of pitcher he is. And keep in mind, the Giants what brought them this far, and they've got to do it and keep doing it, is their pitching and also their ability not to chase and get themselves out. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.